Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
It's 7 o'clock on the Radio Newark Wireless. That means it's time to do this. On tonight's show, a president that built a wall. Four, in fact, and a roof. Alan Swain looks back at the stage one completion of the clubhouse refurbishment and what happens next at Kelham Road. It's Tuesday, and of course that means Amber Owens joins us with all the news from the Newark Athletic Club. And one of Radio Newark Sport's very first stars, we call her our very own, Jess Weaver. And we've followed her progress right through the ranks of junior rugby. And this last weekend, she put an England shirt on, the England under-18s in France. Jess joins us later to talk to us and her president at the rugby club. She tells me she's not nervous. How can you be nervous when you've played rugby for your country? Come on, Jess. I'm Mick Bradley. He's Tony Smith. And this is Radio Newark Sport. Mr. Smith, we start with Lewis Hamilton has a new girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And like her, he is now a vegan. Jermaine Defoe is also a vegan, and he claims that is what's helping him to perform at the top level of football. On the other hand, Mr. Smith, you're not a vegan.
No.
No.
I'm Catholic.
You're Catholic. Do you think that it's going to make a difference?
I don't know. I mean, if it helps you to pull totty, fine.
this show will improve when
Mr.
Sway starts talking and Tony doesn't. So no chance of you becoming a vegan then?
My youngest daughter is a vegan.
All right.
So you know, it's I've got all the respect for her, you know, and her wishes, but you know, if it's the only animals I like are dead and on my plate.
You don't get that size by eating lettuce, do you, Tony?
You got to work on a figure like this, that's true.
It was a busy show last night. We normally are fairly busy on a Monday night, but with the events of Friday evening, it really did sort of get busy. And I thank you all for everybody's comments that's came in about what is the very sad demise of the Grove Sports Centre. But the debate we was having with Alexis last night about Leisure Centre, Sports Centre, I got a very nice tweet from Active for Today thanking us for interviewing the staff and talking about the Grove Sports Centre. Couldn't be better. But the one thing that I wanted to mention last night that we didn't get time for, Berwick Rangers won. Alan, I'm sorry about this, but he supports Berwick Rangers for some inexplicable reason. He sort of went past there one day on the train, so he supports them. They won a game of football, and they're fifth in the table.
They were 2-0 down as well. And when I clicked onto the television to see the latest score and found they were 2-0 down, then
you expected it.
You were scared to look again, because that usually heralds a 5-0 home defeat or something of that order. But I was delighted when the Sunday paper plopped on the mat in the morning and found out that they'd actually won 3-2. I thought it was a misprint.
This is Scottish football, and as I say, you know, we tend not to talk about Scotland and sport in the same sort of sentence, but Rangers, Berwick Rangers won, so
yeah,
you're in good humour. Who else was in good humour at the weekend? And Joseph Monk and Amelia Crispin led the way for Newark Athletic Club as the cross-country season got underway. More about that one from Amber. Staying with Newark AC, and Becky Gallup achieved 7th place overall and a new personal best with a time of 1:23.17 at the Bristol Half Marathon. Adam Holland was back in Newark at the weekend. Saturday saw him win Owl Park Run for the 98th time, his 122nd park run victory in total. And well done to Tim Bagley, who wore a GB vest this weekend in the ITU Age Group Sprint Championships in Rotterdam. Tim came 31st out of 84 in 1 hour 12.01. I'll tell you the times and what he did in a couple of minutes.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Was that Becky Gallup 1:23?
Yes.
That's a seriously good half marathon time.
Yes. Is that Paul Bagley's son? Gareth Bagley's son. No, 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 no. It's Gareth, the president, the other president that we talked to two presidents. Tim Bagley was in Rotterdam. We told you yesterday of Olivia Mathias winning or coming sixth in the Junior World Triathlon, all part of the same event. This was the age group event on Sunday, and I think it was the 31 to 34 year olds.
Yeah.
I say they called it a sprint championship. 750 metre swim, 20k bike ride and a 5k run. Where does sprint come into any of that?
About the last 4 yards of the 5k.
Yes, apparently it's a sprint triathlon, whatever one of those, whatever one of those is. I really don't know, but well done to Tim. Tim's still a member of Newark AC. He lives in York, but he's retained his Newark AC membership. Another AC Newark AC member I was talking about today was Linton Taylor. Remember we've talked about Linton Taylor many times. He's back in the States for another year, so hopefully, according to his mother, he's over here at Christmas.
I can remember...
So we'll get him booked in.
I can remember him being one of our first guests.
Yes.
Under the new format.
And he's coming back to see us at Christmas to give us an update of his American. With Poppy Miller coming in as well, we're going to go all American at Christmas. We'll have to get the anthem out.
We'll have to get Ernie in to sing it.
We'll have to get Ernie in to sing it. Most definitely. There's a worry. And one more final snippet. A voice I haven't heard for a number of years. I spoke to tonight. KP. Kevin Preslin.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin, if you're listening, I know you do listen. Lovely to hear from you again. Nice to see that you're back on the scene. Just having an update on football. Kevin gave so much to football.
Yeah.
And it did what it normally does, it stabs you in the back. But, he gave so much to football.
Yeah.
Good man, I like KP. Good on that side.
Yes, same
very,
here.
Very pleased to hear from him again today.
In what shape or form is he back on the local scene then?
None.
Right.
He just decided it was time for a catch-up.
Ah.
And it's something I should have done an awful long time. You don't though, do you? And 1 week goes into a month and a month goes into a year. And suddenly, you haven't spoke to somebody for a couple of years, and it's rubbish. So it's great to catch up with him again tonight.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful. Anyway, our studio guest tonight, very special friend of the show, told me at the end of last season he was contemplating stepping down from his role at the head of Newark Rugby Club. And that worried me, because how do you replace somebody who's hands-on as Alan Swain is. But I wasn't to be worried, because at the end of the day, at the end of the summer, he'd missed rugby that much. He decided that I've got to come back, because it means I won't be able to go on Radio Newark Sport again. So, welcome back.
Obvious appeal.
To the man that I can still call the boss, Alan.
Thank you very much, Mick. But as I said last time, the intention was to stand down from the presidency at the end of last season. But as you well know, I'm very closely involved with the fundraising for the new clubhouse project. And bear in mind that that was continuing, then it seemed futile standing down for just this last year. What we have done, though, which is unusual, we've identified a senior member in the club who is president-elect. So, assuming that the democratic process works correctly, then that person will be elected president next year. And why that is important for us as a club is that it's our centenary in 2019. So what we wanted to do is have a president in place that's well known to the club for the period at least of 2018 to 2020, thereby taking in all of the centenary kind of celebrations.
Are you disappointed though in any way that it's not, you're not going to be the president at the centenary? I mean, you've built what is going to happen by the centenary, and I know it is a massive team effort, but there's got to be a head of that team. You'll still be there to see it all happening.
I should be there at the bar. I should be there on the touchline, and I'll be supporting my colleagues who are running the club at that time. I've been very fortunate that I'll have been president for 4 years. It was an honour and privilege to do it for 1 year, but for 4 years, it's wonderful. And I'm very, very fortunate that I have the support of my dear wife, Carol, as well, who's right behind me.
Are you surprised that it is 4 years? Because it's usually a three-year, 10-year max, isn't it?
There's no set limits, but you do have to, with the new constitution, you do have to effectively stand down and then be asked to start again. And that's the case for all of the directors of the club. Historically, before we were a limited company, there were no such guidelines as such. However, if you look back at the boards in the clubhouse, there are very few people that have been president for more than 2 or 3 years. What has happened is that positions such as secretary and treasurer in the past, they've been often held for a long periods by an individual, but we do try and rotate. And I personally feel that's most important. You know, we go to some clubs where we see the same people in charge year in, year out, year in, year out. Now, I don't think that's good for any organisation. I think any particularly a volunteer organisation needs new blood, new ideas, new energy, new enthusiasm, and all those things. So, yes, it's been a wonderful 4 years, but I'll look forward to handing over and letting somebody put their print onto the position.
Do you know how many people have done a 4 year stint during the 99 years of the club?
No. In a word, no. I'll have to nip back down Kellam Road and have a look at the board. Yeah,
you're coming here with all this research, Alan.
Yeah, I know, but I haven't done that one.
This is Tony Smith once again trying to prove he's a journalist. Primarily, Alan, I want to talk to you about the building, what's happened already, what's going to happen, and how a club goes about this massive reconstruction. Come to that one in a few minutes.
Yep.
A couple of quick questions first. A victory at the weekend, two defeats and Notts Cup, and then the opening league defeat, and heads shouldn't drop at the start of the season, but you needed a morale booster for the first team, I think.
We did need a morale booster, and just before half time at 20 points to 5 down, I didn't think we were going to get a morale booster.
In Rob Wardman's own words, he was walking around the pitch trying to find a cat to kick.
Yeah.
Anybody who likes the RSPCA, that's Rob Wardman and not me.
No, it was a very good backs-to-the-wall performance in the second half and in extra time. And I was just delighted for the boys. Now, we haven't had a lot of continuity of selection for various reasons for the last 2 or 3 weeks. But the guys put in a really superb defensive performance last Saturday, and they thoroughly deserved the victory. If we'd shown a little more composure in attack, I think we may have been able to avoid extra time. But no, it was a very good win. And interestingly, at Oakham, it ties into some of my thoughts with regard to the new clubhouse, and I'll explain that. Oakham have got a brand new clubhouse, not brand new, 3 years old, a really nice facility there, nice flat pitches, really nice setup. And the first thing that their senior guy said when we got there on Saturday, I wish you had built it bigger from the outset.
Because once it's up and built,
it's more difficult, it's more expensive, it's to and do all those with things.
It. So you go in there at the weekend, sort of open your eyes but a little bit, but at least it gives you another perspective of what to do.
It reinforced our ideas of what we're trying to achieve, yeah, certainly.
The other sad news that came out of New York Rugby Club over the summer was the passing away of Brian Fisher. Stalwart of the rugby club.
More than that, he was Mr. New York Rugby Club in my mind and in many people's eyes. Interestingly, we had a fantastic wake, as you know, down there. I think it was the 29th or 30th of August. 400 people in a marquee on the first team pitch. Lots of old friends from years gone by. Now, Brian was the driving force of having the current clubhouse that we're going to knock down. He was the driving force behind having that built. And I have to say, as I said in the programme notes on the day, Brian was absolutely behind the new clubhouse development.
I read somewhere that he was the only man that could have got on that first team pitch before the season started.
that is probably true, but we gave Brian a good send off, and but he was more than the driving force. At Newark he was also a close personal friend of mine as well, and he'll be missed.
It does back up what you were saying to Tony, though, doesn't it, about you go to so many clubs where they are almost a one-person club, and if anything happens to that one person, then that club is in trouble, because Brian would want Newark Rugby Club to continue to get bigger, to get better. You know, he's done his tenure, but it's passed to somebody else, then it's passed to somebody else, and I think you're quite absolutely right in what you're saying. There's got to be a group of you.
Well, I think one of the things that we actively consider at the board is succession planning, so that we don't have a problem when a president or a chairman or a treasurer steps down. Now, and one of the things that we are particularly concerned with, you talked about it being a whole club affair, is identifying particularly those parents of the mini and youth and girls age groups, to see which of those people want to become more actively involved on a volunteer basis, and potentially not not just in coaching, but then into the actual running of the club. There are no barriers, you know, to the board at all. There are no closed shops, and the more diverse, I think, representation we have around the board table, the better.
Still to come, Amber Owens, Jess Weaver, and a lot more from our very own Mr. President. Tuesday, 7:20, can only mean one thing. It's Amber Owens time. Amber, good evening.
Good evening.
I take it they've let you train tonight. The school was open again today after Friday night's events.
Yeah, it was open today, yeah.
But you're all back and you're all training.
Yeah.
Good, good. Look back, this is the time when we look back at what's happening in the world of New York Athletic Club, and I think the main part of the world of New York Athletic Club took place at Retford on Sunday morning with the first leg of the Nottinghamshire Mini Cross Country League. Now, this is what, the 11 to 15 year olds, is it, Amber?
Yeah, 11 to 15.
And for the first time in an awful number of years, Team Owens wasn't represented.
No, we didn't go because we're all too old.
Memories of the mini league. Did you used to look forward to? I mean, I know you've not done it for a couple of years now.
Yeah, I love the mini league because each time, depending on who wins or depending on the order of the places, but there's five of them, and you do them all you do them the same places each year, but they could be in a different order. But, like, you like different courses, and it's just a bit of fun. It's really good.
Everybody seems to just mix in together, don't they? I travelled up to Retford and it's a lovely morning.
Yeah, it is lovely.
Newark was out there in force. I think they took 14 young athletes.
Yeah, they took 14,
Many first-timers, I'm told, Amber.
Yeah, I mean, for under-11 girls, we had Anna that came 14th, Jasmine that came 20th, and Harriet came 31st. I mean, that's just... I mean, they're under-11s, and they're just like... I mean, they're the youngest, so they've just started. They did really well.
And it's a big event for an under-11, isn't it? Because, you know, there's probably 40, 50 of you running, and there's a big audience there as well.
Yeah, I mean, the under-13 girls, I think there was 52 in their race. There was loads in their race. And yeah, I mean, when you're that young as well, because you don't, when I was that young, I didn't enjoy cross country. And you know, 2K seems a long way.
2K looked a long way to me.
Yeah.
And they really did. But I think there's all stars on the day for taking part, because they're so brave to take part. But the two best results we had was Joseph Monk and our little pocket rocket, Amelia Crispin.
Yeah, I mean, Joseph came third in the under-11 boys race, and Amelia, she came second in the under-13 girls, so yeah, it was really good.
Amelia was having to wear, she wore spikes, she didn't want to wear spikes, but her feet's growing that quick, she needs some other running shoes. Spikes on grass, is that something correct, or is it just how people like it or don't like it?
Well, Amelia does triathlon, so I think maybe, because I mean, I don't know, it depends, because My dad likes running in trail shoes because they're quite grippy as well. And some people don't like running in spikes because they get stuck in things and they're not always that good if you're like in really like sloppy mud and stuff. But I prefer spikes. I think they've got more grip. So I'd wear them for cross country, to be honest, like grass or not.
Joseph Monk, who is a name I'm increasingly becoming familiar. I know they speak very highly to school tutor Reed. I think he actually got the gold medal in the school's cross country. Last winter, I've got him down as one of the stars of the future, Amber.
Yeah, I think he could be. He's really, really good. I mean, he did a couple of sessions with us. I think it was last week. He did a session with us in our group, and I mean, he's under 11, and all of us are probably 15 and above. So, apart from Amelia, but yeah,
he's putting it together, isn't he? Moving away from. It's never winter cross country weather though at Retford. That's 2 years on the bounce I've been, and we're basking in sunshine.
Yeah. I mean, because it's so early as well in the season. Because I mean, I'm not doing any cross countries until halfway through October. You know, really, it's only just starting. It's starting to get to autumn, but I remember doing them, and usually the first one was always really hot, and it felt like summer. So it didn't really feel like cross country weather.
That's the other thing that must make it difficult for them youngsters. It's for the 11-year-old doing it for the first time in that heat. It's not easy. Luke Sayer, he's a young man that we spoke about last week, Amber, and he's been in the Notts Under 17 combined English schools team. He got 4 personal bests and an overall personal best and a club record.
Yeah, he got a club record as well, I know.
In this octathlon, which you explained to us last week, what it was all about, 34th in the English schools final over the 2-day event.
34th, yeah.
That's good going. It's excellent going.
Yeah, it's really good going, yeah, I know.
So,
it's very good.
Luke, the next one off the Newark Athletic Club production line.
Yeah, and he does work really hard. I mean, whenever we get to training, he's always either doing javelin or triple jump or long jump or high jump. Or hurdles, he's always doing something. So yeah, we just try really hard. He has been practicing all the events.
And finally, Mrs. Gallup, Becky.
Yeah.
Half marathon at Bristol. If my timings are correct, it's 84 minutes. And that is seriously fast.
Yeah, that is really, really fast. Yeah.
She's a really
good runner. I mean, she honestly, when she's like started training for a marathon, she's so fast.
She's wonderful, like all you lot at Newark AC. Amber, we'll catch up with you again next week to find out what's happening in the world of Newark Athletic Club.
Okay.
Look after yourself until then, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
But 1:23, that is a fantastic time for a half marathon. And 1:23 is also further than she throws the shot put. Sorry, Becky.
You'll get me. You will. One day, you'll get me shot. He says. Right. Time for some national sports headlines.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And Tony, it's not in this country only that football managers seem to get sacked before the season's 2 months old. Belgian champions Anderlecht have sacked their edge coach, Rennie Wellner, 9 days before they face Celtic in the Champions League. Anderlecht trail Club Bruges by 9 points in the Belgian First Division. Of course, Anderlecht are the current champions. Meanwhile, German club Wolfsburg has sacked Andreas Jonker, the former Arsenal academy boss. The Dutchman became the first manager to be sacked in Germany's top flight, having secured only one win in the first four matches of the season. Roy McIlroy has added next week's British Masters to his schedule after failing to qualify for this week's Tour Championships in the US. McIlroy will play Close House venue in Northumberland a week before the Dunhill Links Championships. The four-time major winner has slipped 2 spots to 8th in the latest world rankings. Keying up next week gives me one more chance to end 2017 on a high, McIlroy told Radio New York Sport. Ish.
Wish Rory had stopped bugging us.
Rio Ferdinand is launching a new career as a professional boxer, 2 years after retired from his other career, a professional footballing boxer. The 38-year-old's move into the ring is being backed by betting company Betfair, which announced the news today. Former Manchester United and England defender Ferdinand works as a TV pundit, and he has his own clothing line. Well, the wife's got a clothesline in the back garden as well. Special? I'm doing this because it's a challenge, he said. I've won titles, now I'm aiming for a belt.
Get one.
No comment whatsoever.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs. On Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
You're listening to Radio New York Sport with me, Mick Bradley, him, Tony Smith, and to add a measure of sort of expertise and decorum into this conversation, we have a president that doesn't just use Twitter, he goes out there and gets the job done. And that's exactly where we're going to start now, getting the job done. Alan, take us back to a meeting round the boardroom table, which now would be a few years ago, when somebody came up with the wonderful idea that this club area is getting tired and needs a refurbishment.
Actually, what happened is we conducted a cross-club, an all-club online survey of what the membership was looking for. And we asked, about 20 questions. One of the key questions was, do you want a refurbished clubhouse or do you want us to see if we can go away and build a brand new facility? And the overwhelming response for that was, we would like you to go away and build a brand new facility, but we want it to look and feel like a rugby club and not compromise what we believe we stand for as a club. So that's what we've set out to do. We also asked a number of questions, including is the membership keen to see other sports introduced at the club? And there was a widespread acceptance of that. There was not just other forms of rugby, but looking at other sports associations that could use our facilities. And there was a significant desire not to run the club, run up a big indebtedness for future generations, which is why we've been so busy trying to raise funds both within the club and from outside of the club.
This just doesn't happen, does it? I mean, we spoke for 40 years about no football facilities in Newark, and people have tried and made every effort, but if you're going to do it, you've got to get out there and you've got to work excuse me, bloody hard. And this is what the team have done.
Well, what happened is that we applied to Sport England nearly 5 years ago for a grant of around about £500,000. And they very kindly rejected our application. They said, it's a good plan, but it'd be nice if you raised a few pounds, shillings and pence yourselves. So that's what we did. We set about building our future campaign. We demonstrated to Sport England that we can raise money off our own bat. And we then submitted a subsequent application to Sport England, which they then said yes to. And they, Sport England, are the major funders for the first phase of the new building project.
Now, the first phase was the changing rooms.
Yes.
I've not been in the changing rooms at the Royal Club, but was they ready for knocking down, so to speak?
Well, there had been one or two incidents where people had disappeared through the floor.
Right.
if that's what you mean by were they ready...
That's not a problem if it's the opposition's changing room.
Exactly. on a serious note, the building, the wooden building, built in 1963, is well past its sell-by date. We've spent a lot of money in the last 3 or 4 years making ad hoc emergency repairs. We've had to replace the floor in the cellar area of the bar. When you go in through the main entrance, you'll feel that the floor is a little bit wobbly there. That's a metal plate that's replaced the old wooden floor. And there are several places in the changing rooms where the wood had literally rotted and it was unstable. So there was no question that the clubhouse needs replacing. And so we're just trying to get on with that as quickly as we can. So the new building is the changing rooms, referees' rooms, physio rooms, etc., all to the Rugby Football Union specifications. And we've shown a lot of people around them since over the last 3 or 4 weeks, including each of the age groups from under sixes all the way up the club. The children and their parents have all been shown exactly what this is about, because this is not for the first team and not just the second team, it's for the entire club, and that I think is highly important. So we had the opening ceremony on September the 2nd, lovely day.
Some of us drove back from Cornwall for
some
it.
Some of them drove back, but were late.
Yes.
I promised not to mention that. But on a serious note, CF Construction...
I put me in my place, didn't it?
CF Construction have done a great job of working with us on the building. Basically, on the day, Dusty Hare, who's a local rugby legend, played for England and the Lions. Dusty Hare and David Pick, who has been the mastermind of the building from the club's perspective. Picky and Dusty jointly cut the ribbon on what was a splendid day. We had a little bit of a speech by Dusty and also one from a gentleman called Peter Grace from the Rugby Union. And Peter had driven up from Dudley in the West Midlands. And he wrote the club, addressed to me, the most wonderfully complimentary letter about not just the event, but the way that he was treated on the day and about how we shared a common vision and enthusiasm and all those kind of things. It was a really, really nice letter, which we published on the club's website.
What I will get into the changing rooms. I'm trying to get a sneak preview on Saturday. But what I like best, Tony, is the steps down from the changing rooms. They're, what metal are they?
I don't know.
Whatever they are, they make a noise. When the studs hit them, they make a noise, and you know the players are coming. Yes. All the way along that stand, you know the players are coming, because once those studs hit that metalwork going down them steps, and I just thought, that sounds great. It really does. So they're open, Alan. That's done, that's in place, everything's set. The stage phase two is there. You can see what's
happening. What's what is phase two, and when is the completion of that?
Right, phase two is basically located on where the changing rooms used to be, the old changing rooms used to be. So we've demolished the old changing rooms, we've demolished the old shower block, etc. And in their place, we have a new office, we have a new community meeting room, we have disabled facilities, we have baby changing facilities, we have a very nice ladies' loos being built, which is something that wasn't the case before. And the gents' loos will also be brand new. And the important thing for this, in terms of external customers or users of the club, is that the gents' facilities will not be shared with the players. So each of the changing rooms have their own, toilet facilities. So that makes the whole external acceptability or attractiveness of the club that much broader.
Very much so. And when are we going to see?
When we're going to see that? Well, that is due for completion in before Christmas. We'd hope for November, but let's just say before Christmas. And the situation with regard to the money is that we've fully funded phase one, and we've fully funded this current phase two. So we'll talk about the final phase a bit later, no doubt.
The final phase is the sort of accumulation, because that's timed for that centenary year.
Well, we certainly want to have the new clubhouse built for the centenary year. What we're planning to do, the current plan, is to build it next summer. So as soon as the final home first team league game, which is April the 21st, we'll literally then be on an accelerated demolition and build program to have the new clubhouse, bar and kitchen, to have that fully ready for the start of the next season, which is September 2018. So that will be quite a project management challenge, I think.
It's a major challenge in the fact that you've rebuilt on a working unit, haven't you? You've not sort of built new on the other side or anything like that. You've actually rebuilt this thing while you've used it.
Yeah, we have done. And there's a number of reasons for that. One is that, again, the membership said that the current location is where we wanted to have the new clubhouse. And that's easier for access. That's probably the main reason. The other one is that, if we take areas of the clubhouse out of commission, it reduces potentially our revenue. So we've planned it specifically to try and, I guess, provide the smallest amount of operational disruption. So for example, in phase two, we're not completing the entire phase two. We're going to leave an area where we're going to have a temporary bar available for next summer. So this will enable us to continue holding events, because we have a number of non-rugby club sporting and non-sporting events throughout the summer. So we'll still be able to offer facilities throughout the rebuild of the actual bar, the new bar. So that's and David Pick has worked wonders in phasing this, as I said, to reduce or to minimise the operational effect of the changes of the build.
The feedback I get from the players and the people that's been in those dressing rooms, we've got Aviva Premiership dressing rooms here. They are that good. You do need an office, you do need a meeting room. I've been in the current meeting room and the current office, and how the girls and the ladies get by sometimes, you think, well, you're doing a cracking job here under the circumstances of exactly what's around you. So they need something as well. But the part that everybody's going to see, and that's in effect either going to make or break this, is the new club room. And I know we spoke about this before on this radio station, and we keep banging on about it. And I'm absolutely sure under David and yourself and the rest of the team, you know what you're going to do with it.
Well, we do. We've got some pretty advanced plans on that. The fine-tuning of the actual fit-out, I'd say, still needs a little more work, but the actual size of the clubhouse is absolutely fixed. We'll be able to seat approximately twice as many people for lunch as that we can at the moment. The kitchens will have modern equipment, all the latest, you know, the latest hygienic standards. They'll be able to cater for larger numbers. We plan to have a partitionable room so that when it's not that busy, we can then still make it feel cosy. We're going to have a bar that's the shape of the current bar. It's part of Newark's history to have an L-shaped bar. We have to have a corner. That's what we've always done. You know, so somewhere to lean on for us oldies. Brian Fisher, you mentioned earlier, Brian was leading a working group of the Honorary Life members of the club to actually determine what goes where on the walls, what England and other shirts we're going to put up on the wall. We have a huge pedigree and history at the club, and what we need to do is to make sure that the most appropriate items are there for, but not just the club, but external people to see. So, for example, you know, we've had 5 England youth internationals in the last 4 years. Of course, their shirts should be on our wall. We've had an international referee, Claire Hodner. You know, of course, her shirt should be on the wall, and so should Dusty's historical shirts. You know, we want to create something that's aspirational, you know, to our young boys and girls, to show that, you know, we can start playing for Newark at 6 and get to the very top of the game, just as Jess has done, as we'll be talking to her a little later.
And you should always remember history, shouldn't you, Tony? Should always. It's about going forward, but a club should have a history and should be proud of that history.
I mean, it all seems to have changed a hell of a lot from the days when you used to get changed at the Royal Oak and walk down the ground.
It certainly has done. Yeah. No, but you know, we would aim to offer the best facilities for a community-based club in the Midlands. That's the goal. Because our players and all of our players from all age groups, they deserve it.
It seems to be working.
This is going to be your legacy, your team's legacy, and this is going to set Newark Rugby Club on the right road for the next 50, 75 years until this one wants rebuilding. The future for Newark Rugby Club, Alan, on and off the field. And I know you're going to say it's a team effort, but over these last 4 years, it's just gone from strength to strength. And we, as a radio station, thank you for all your tremendous efforts. There is a team behind it, I know, because in sport, you've got to have a team.
No iron team, as they say.
Exactly.
Absolutely right. Why do I love rugby? Because it's a team sport.
And one of the things that's blossomed in 4 years is girls rugby.
Absolutely.
Now, Tony knows I'm not biased in any way, shape or form.
No, not at all.
Not at all, and I don't have favourites. But if I did have a favourite, Jess Weaver would be that, because Jess Weaver coming here right at the start of this radio station with her parents and with Mark Dobb, and 3 years later, she's going to have a shirt on the wall at Newark Rugby Club with an England badge on it. Now, how good is that, that a club like Newark Rugby Club can produce England internationals? It's fantastic. Let's see if we can find, because I know she's at Loughborough, she's schooling in Loughborough now, so let's see if we can find the said Jess Weaver. They say to me, why do you do this show? You know, you've been involved in sport all your life, what do you get out of it? What I get out of it and what Tony gets out of it, you'll find out in the next 10 minutes, because the young lady we're going to talk to next, we spoke to just as she took up rugby. We fathered her through the national championships. We saw the try she scored in the last second to make Newark Rugby Club the national champions. And now, at the weekend, she's pulled on an England shirt. A dream. Radio Newark's superstar, Jess Weaver. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello, Jess. A fantastic weekend. I know you got yourself injured, but you wouldn't be Jess Weaver if you didn't get yourself injured. Jess, last time I spoke to you, you was in a rather a large squad that was going to be whittled down to not many, and you'd made your mind up that, okay, I've reached that squad, that's fantastic, it won't go any further. Jess, it did go further.
Yeah, yeah, which was a bit of a shock, if I'm perfectly honest. Each time we had the trial process and the group was getting narrowed down, now we're like, oh, I'm not going to get in it next time. And then when the squad finally did get called out, it was definitely a very big shock.
So off you went to France to represent England at Rugby Sevens.
Yes.
Come on then, tell me the story.
Well, we flew out on the Friday morning, and that night we had a training session just to kind of like finalise things, and so we were with all the girls, there were 12 of us, and that training session went really well, so we were very pleased with that. All our England kit. We arrived at the tournament on the Saturday morning, and it massive stadium, and all the countries there, all the different teams, and it was quite strange, like just seeing all the different, because obviously I've played tournaments before, but never international ones, and and then the tournament obviously began, and it went from there.
At the end of it, England come out winners, and there's a picture on our Facebook site of you holding a rather large trophy. I got a message from your father. She sustained quite a severe case of concussion in the very last game on Saturday. Despite this, she showed her true maturity and love for rugby and her team and coaches, and helped them today to win the European Under-18s Championship. Jess, what happened?
Well, I played against Wales. We beat them. Then Russia. That was quite a physical game. So we're tired after that, but we beat them quite easily. And then it came to USA, and this was my first game that I was starting. So we're quite nervous because I'd gone out onto the pitch, obviously, but I hadn't run out through the tunnel to start, if you get me, almost. And so we're definitely very nervous. And I think it was 1 minute before the half time, and the ball came out the back of the scrum. And I made a bit of a break, ran quite far, and I thought we were going to score the try, in fact, but a girl came from almost nowhere and tackled me, and I think, yes, it was from there. I can't really remember any of it.
Never trust the Americans, Jess.
No.
Jess, in the studio tonight, as our studio guest, is the president of Newark Rugby Club, Alan Swain. I think Alan just wants a word with you, Jess.
Hello, Jess.
Hello, you're right.
Oh, very well. I'm so pleased for you and Mark and the entire team there. It's marvellous news. You know, we've had international boys, we've had international men, we've had international refs, but we've not had international girls. So so I'm so thrilled, you know, for you and for the entire club. You'll be an inspiration to Mark and the rest of the coaching team. As we continue to develop the girls and ladies' side. So very well done.
Thank you. Hopefully, Arvin. Well, I definitely knew I inspired one girl, because at the airport, this woman came up to all the squad and asked for a photo, and her daughter's going to join the under-13s Newark girls. So I've definitely inspired one girl to come and play rugby, which is great.
Yes, you've inspired a lot of girls to play rugby.
Well, I'm looking forward, hopefully, if you've got a spare shirt at some stage, perhaps we'll find a place in our brand new clubhouse for Jess Weaver's shirt, eh?
Yeah.
That'd be wonderful.
I couldn't keep my shirt, but hopefully if I get to the chance to pull on one again, then
you,
definitely,
I'm
yeah.
sure you will. I'm sure you will, Jess. And congratulations once again.
Thank you ever so much.
Jess, thank you so much for joining us. You are Radio Newark's true, true superstar and a fantastic friend of this radio station. And, you know, I, like your father, emotion took over at the weekend because we're so proud of you. Jess, well done. Keep going,
thank
and
you.
I'll catch up with you again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye.
Jess.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
bye.
Bye, Jess.
Bye. And she is a true inspiration when it comes to play rugby. It's been a hard season for the Newark under-18s this season. Oh, yeah. This coming season is going to be a cracking season because the under-15s have joined them.
That's
the
right.
Age. It's always going to be an age group thing, isn't it?
Mm. It's a whole numbers thing.
Yes.
It's difficult, but Mark and his team, not just Mark, Claire and Greg and everybody, they're just doing a brilliant job. And I went down to Twickenham with Mark 2 weeks ago, because you're perhaps aware that the mini youth and girls section won through to the finals of the National Rugby Awards. And Mark was down there, and I was able to introduce Mark to Maggie Alfonsi, who, if you remember, was the ladies captain for the previous Ladies World Cup. So that was fantastic. And I know Mark found that inspirational as well.
Sort of go back to the legacies, Alan, and your own personal legacy, apart from the club room, will be the girls, how they've matured and come along. And now, you know, Newark Rugby Club is now one of the top six youth rugby clubs in England. Come on, how good is that?
Yeah, and what the frustration is, you know, we've got an army of volunteers that look after the mini youth and girls side, you know, 90 plus people, which great thanks to them. What we're not doing at the moment is managing to get a trickle through to the senior club, you know, from the youth sides. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And it's one of the reasons that we're undertaking the initiative to try and get rugby reintroduced to schools in the Newark area. Once we do that, I think we'll have a very, very bright future.
And that's coming forward as well, isn't it?
It is. We're making real progress, and the RFU are supporting us in that.
It's all good.
It's exciting times.
We've got to do now is beat Ilkeston on Saturday.
That would be very nice. Ilkeston had a poor result last Saturday, the Saturday before last. They've come down, but Dronfield have come down as well, and they beat us when we played there a fortnight ago. We normally have a fairly close tussle with Ilkeston, and I'm expecting one this week. But if we play as well as we did last Saturday, then I'm fairly sure that we could come home with a W in front of what I know will be a sizeable crowd at Kelham Road.
3 o'clock kick-off at Kelham Road. I should be there with Radio Newark Sport and come and say hello, and let's get that victory. Alan, thank you so much for popping in and bringing us up to date with all things Kelham Road. And to prove it is planning that goes into this show, one of our guests tomorrow night is Mark Dobb.
Fantastic.
The head man of the girls.
You just couldn't write that stuff, could you?
Somebody must work very hard sorting all this out. And our studio guest is Andrew Lowe, and countless boxes, of which Tony's going to try and keep control on, as we look forward to Sunday's big professional boxing at the Cedric Ford. So until tomorrow night, and what could possibly go wrong tomorrow? Good